Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of your favorite psychic podcast, The Psychic Funhouse. We're here every Friday, keeping it real for you in the spirit world. So, I am your host for tonight. My name is Lawrence Birch. And, yes, that lonely wolf howl. Is letting us know, I know it's hard, let us know that we will be flying solo tonight because our beloved co-host, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza, is away on assignment. But he'll be back next week to rejoin the crew here at the Funhouse. So don't fear. He's just needing to take some time away, but he's always here in spirit. So, so it's just me manning the ship, and tonight's episode, we're going to spend a little bit of time before we get into readings, just discussing this concept of spiritual love and self-love, and what that means, and how we can invite love from spirit into our lives, into our hearts, dare I say, into our souls, as a way of understanding our place in the universe. So I had a client I worked with this week that inspired this episode, so I'm grateful for that. And while we were talking and doing some work together, you know, they regularly express self-doubt in believing the reality or validity of their spiritual experiences. And they had a number of different things happen to them when they were younger and into adulthood that they had trouble categorizing and didn't find a lot of support for them, didn't feel like they could share them with really very many people for fear of being labeled a kook or crazy, you know, or worse. And I think this is something that's actually pretty common for many people out there, really all over the world. And it's an unfortunate byproduct of our society's dedication to the principles of science, which I think is a wonderful, beautiful thing. But because so many spiritual things have not been validated by that paradigm, they're not really accepted as, you know, reality. So there's a lot of people out there having experiences that don't fit into that scientific framework and questioning themselves or you know, being fearful about sharing them for, you know, consequences, you know, everything from just being looked at askance to more serious things like losing employment or the trust and love in others. So these were some of the things that she expressed, and that was also mentioned in the context of having some challenges in her interpersonal relationships. Really struggling to break free from the patterns of finding herself with kind of a lopsided situation, you know, where she really cared about this person in her life, you know, be it friend or family, and you know, was a ride or die kind of person in their life, and yet that wasn't reciprocated. Or worse, there were betrayals or abandonment, you know, all sorts of negative responses. So it really caused her to question what her choices were and why she was doing this. Why was she, you know, seeking relationships with people that were not willing to love her back the way that she was loving them? What was interesting, and maybe it seems obvious, but it, you know, it wasn't with her when we walked through it, was the times that she had experienced really profound spiritual connection were also the times when she felt some of the deepest love come to her, and it came from the spirit world. And so, you know, what you know, the observation I made back to her about this was, you know, just how interesting it was that she was seeking connection in these relationships, you know, here in we'll just call it reality. And yet she was already getting unconditional love from, you know, her guides and from relatives who she had felt connections with who had passed on. You know, and what did that say about her as a person, you know? Because, you know, I think a lot of us end up settling for less than ideal relationships in our work life, in our personal lives, in part perhaps because we feel we have to, or because we feel like, you know, if we don't allow ourselves to stay in a relationship that isn't meeting all our needs, you know, we'll be alone, or there won't be another one that we'll find ourselves in after ending this one. You know, there's a lot of fear around this, and a lot of it often has to do with questioning our value and our self-worth. And my point, you know, with her and with y'all in bringing this up is, for many of us who have a spiritual practice, and I would say the majority of the people that I'm aware of who take that practice further and do actual work with it or healing, pretty soon you realize that the universe really, the energy of the universe is really love. That's what the universe runs on. Everything else is secondary to that. And without that amazing, you know, whatever you want to call it, galactical, universal, unconditional love, nothing else would function. Nothing else really matters. That's not to say that there aren't, you know, evils in the world, if you want to use that term, or negative energy, or, you know, things that are counter to that, you know. But, you know, the opposite of love isn't hate. I think that's a confusing concept for some people. The opposite of love is non-love, which, you know, comes in a variety of ways. Indifference is probably the clearest opposite expression of love. It's when you don't even care. You know, you can't be bothered enough to even have any feelings with somebody. So, you know, I'm bringing all this up because I think, you know, obviously we've been going through a lot. I mean, you know, the people in Florida, I hope they get all the love and support that they need to rebuild their the destruction that came through with the hurricane, and you know, the people that are continuing to be affected by it as it moves up the coast. You know, I hope they find safety. You know, and there's been all sorts of other weather-related events that have affected our loved ones around the world. And we're going into the fall months here. There's concern about COVID. You know, there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear floating around, and it can be very easy to give into that. And I think as a counter, we can deepen our connection to spirit, deepen our spiritual practice, and also introduce the concept of self-love and receiving love, right? Because I think that's the gate that needs to open for you with your process and relationship, whether it's a relationship to yourself, to others, or to spirit. You know, you can have literally the love of the universe right at your doorstep, but if you're keeping that door locked and bolted and you're not willing to open it up and receive that love, it might as well not be there at all. So that's another really key aspect of the work, is to learn how to accept and receive, right? Accept and receive. We had a lovely caller last week or the week before who was going to do a workshop on acceptance, right? How critical that is. You know, when you stop fighting, you know, one a friend of mine often says, you just stop and let it hit you, right? Quit running. You know, stop trying to be somebody you're not. Stop trying to get others to like you by, you know, clowning yourself or, you know, doing all these things that really run counter to who you are as a person, you know, and get to know yourself. You know, none of these things are without risks, right? But if you're looking around and you're finding your relationships are less than adequate, you know, and not in a blaming way, but in a let's take responsibility for this way, it might be time to look within and say, well, what am I doing to set myself up for this? Am I, you know, setting myself up for success in my relationships by doing the work I need to do to clear out as best as past traumas or, you know, things where I've made less than the best choices and grow from that so that I can learn to trust and I can, you know, as best as possible heal these past traumas so I can be present and loving in relationships? Or am I in denial of all that or blaming others or feeling like a victim, you know, or whatever it is that's preventing me from being somebody who's willing to, you know, rise to their fullest potential through the, you know, walking the pathway of love. But that's really, you know, coming back to that, that's really the way things operate. You know, it's with loving kindness. And now more than ever, we could use that. But you're only able to receive the kind of love that's coming to you through the filter of how much love you're willing to give yourself. And I'm not, you know, talking about narcissistic love or love that's, you know, toxic or anything like that. I'm talking about the kind of love that is as forgiving and compassionate as possible. You know, maybe you can't be, you know, 100% unconditional. It's probably a unattainable, you know, ideal, but it doesn't mean that you can't strive for it. And, you know, the more fully you can love yourself, you know, you can't love other people more than you can love yourself. It just doesn't work that way. So, you know, again, if you're looking around and you're unhappy in your relationships with friends and family, you know, check in and make sure you're doing the work. You know, what am I doing here that is contributing to this? And if you feel like you need some assistance, you know, Spirit is there. Spirit is there to help you understand what it is that's holding you back from your fullest potential and can give you insights into how to attain that, right? And, you know, I'm sure a lot of that's going to be energized by the power of love, right? Which is a pretty amazing force. So tapping into that is really what I know Michael and my work is about as psychics and pranic healers and shamanic practitioners, right? We're not able to do any of our work without being as much as possible a passageway and a bridge for loving kindness from the spirit world. So anyway, so hopefully all that makes sense. And you can find some resonance with it and take what works and leave the rest. You know, ideally we'll make this world a better place together, and when we leave it, it'll be better than how we found it, right? That's the whole idea of being here, I think. Anyway, all right, well, so with that in mind, we're going to do some reading tonight. We've got callers to go to. And as I mentioned, Michael is away on assignment, so he'll be back next week. So you're stuck with me, the caretaker here at the Funhouse, just Lawrence tonight. So, all right, so we're going to go to our first call, first listener. Oh, there we go. So what we like to do on the Funhouse, we just have you tell us, you can give us a name. It doesn't have to be your name. You can use a different name if you want to be somebody else tonight. But your first name and where you're calling from, just so you get an idea about where in the world you are. All right? So this is area code 630. And you
Hi,
are
Lauren.
On the second with Lawrence. Hey, this is one of my favorite people.
Hi, Lawrence. It's Dion. Yes. How are you?
Yes. Dion, I'm good. How are you? What's new?
Thanks for taking my call. What's
Always.
New?
You bet.
Well, like I was applying for, jobs to work for FEMA.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, that's a way to get down to Florida, right?
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to need help now.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah. Yeah.
What's weird?
Situation.
What?
Oh, you go ahead. What were you going to say? What was weird?
The area that I'm looking to relocate didn't get hit by the hurricane.
Oh, okay. Well,
isn't
good
that
choice,
weird?
Huh? I was going to ask you about that. Okay.
No, I was looking on the other side. It's like one of the very small places that didn't get hit by the hurricane.
Mm. Yeah.
My question for you tonight, yes, I'm still looking for work. Yes, I'm still relocating. Yeah. No, I haven't got anything solid yet, but I know that it's coming.
Yeah, you're working it.
I'm working it. I get calls. I have been getting calls back from my so what I've done is I've just kind of changed my search engine to just remote work.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I would like to get a job before going down there, but also not doesn't have to be. I'm already down there. But so here's my question for you tonight. So when you hang around certain people and things happen, and that's like an indicator, like of bad energy, do you believe in stuff like that?
Well, you know, you'll have to maybe elaborate on what your question is. What do you mean exactly by hanging around bad energy? You mean like, is that your responsibility, or is there some blame to be assigned because you're around bad energy? Is that what you're talking about, or what do you mean?
So like yesterday I was out with somebody and I lost my iPods, or my iPods went missing. And I thought it like this person took them, because when I was around this person before, things just go missing. I mean, I don't know for sure if that person took them or if I really did they just so happened to fall off. But either way, like things go missing whenever I'm around this person. So that's an indicator that you shouldn't be around people like that if the energy goes bad, right?
So have you actually caught them, like, taking things or in possession of stuff that isn't theirs, or?
Yeah, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
What happened when you confronted him?
The first time they admitted it and then replaced the item.
Uh-huh.
The second time, just didn't really say anything. Yesterday, I don't know if he took them or not, but I know I don't have them. And
uh-huh.
It's just, either way, it's the side effect of being around that person that I lost my $200 AirPods. Get what I'm saying? So, like, for me, it's like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, unless they've got some kind of compulsive issue like kleptomania or some other thing happening, you know, that's sounds like that's the price that you pay, you know, to be in their company, is physical things sometimes disappear when you're around them. So, you know, if it's worth it for you to take that risk, then I guess, you know, that's somebody who you're going to continue to hang out with. But if not, then, you know, the price might be too high for you, the anxiety or whatever comes with it, right? So.
Okay. So that's the wording I was looking for, the price. What do you feel? Do you feel that I lost them, or do you feel that somebody took them?
Your AirPods, your $200 AirPods?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what Spirit's showing me is that you did, technically you lost them, and technically he, quote, found them, but he didn't give them back to you, and he knew they were yours, right? So they came off at some point, and I think they recovered them and just decided that since you didn't realize that they were going to hang on to them until you either said something or not. So it's not like they took them. It just was an opportunity, which I think is a lot of what they do. Is they're not like, you know, breaking and entering kind of thievery that they do. It's just a you know, opportunity when they see it to take advantage of situations like that. So that's what I'm getting. Anyway,
person that I was with, or somebody else?
Yeah. No, I think
the
it was
person
a person
I was
with.
That's
yeah.
what I thought too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's okay, because Spirit got him one better. Because he left his apartment keys in my car.
Uh-huh.
So those conveniently went into the garage. I said, you could bring my AirPods back and you'll get your keys. Otherwise, you're not getting your keys back and they're going to go in the garbage. So, but,
oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
So Spirit, like, karma kind of got him right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's odd. You know, but that's on people close to them, but that's, you know, they're able to justify it. So it's unfortunate.
So that's what's new. I was looking
okay.
for the wording, and what you said was right on. It was the price that you pay. So got to rid myself of that energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, if you think about it, I mean, I wouldn't go too far with the analogy, but, you know, we all spend something or receive something when we're with people, right? Some people fill us up. It's like, you know, getting a big blank check, and every time we come away from spending time with them, we feel like our bank account is overflowing. And other people, it, you know, we're immediately overdrawn or bankrupt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Energetically speaking, and, you know, and sometimes that can change. You know, people have times when they call on us more than others, but there should be a flow, right, back and forth between people, right? Because if it's just going one way, then, you know, it's very depleting and draining, and often just not healthy. So, yeah. Yeah, way to bring something on topic. I appreciate that, Dion.
Yeah, it's like assassination by association. It was the closest I could come up with today.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, a little ninja action there. Yeah, I could do that. Mm-hmm. That works too. Yeah. You know, yeah. you have to be careful about who you spend time with, you know, and not, you know, make yourself vulnerable. And, you know, you, of anybody, knows about that situation. So, yeah.
Yeah. it's a shame, but I learned my lesson, and then you just move on.
Yeah, well, it's not like you don't have, you know, your own really wonderful, compassionate personality that's, you know, waiting to connect with all sorts of wonderful people. So, you know, they're out there for you, for sure.
Thank you. I'll keep you posted as soon as I get the job or I hear something bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I did have one exciting thing. Some famous lady who's a journalist, a publicist, she saw my ad on LinkedIn about my sequel coming out of my book, and she commented on it. So she commented SAWS, which is SAWS. So I don't know if that meant like she saw it, or but she commented on it, and I looked up her bio and everything. And, I mean, I feel like it's starting to get out there, so there's still a possibility I could get something in the writing industry coming. And I did make my first successful Amazon sale this week. So things are turning around, not as quick as I want them to, but it's still positive.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, you should. Did you contact her? You should see if she'd be interested in interviewing you about your upcoming book. Give her an exclusive.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's huge.
I didn't know what to do, so I kind of just have been thinking about it, and I don't know. I didn't do anything really. It just happened. So.
Yeah. Well, anytime you get interest from that, especially somebody with those kind of credentials, you want to jump on it and, you know, at least start a dialogue. But, you know, if they're interested enough to reach out and make a comment, they're probably interested enough in finding out more about what you do. So I would follow up on it and, you know, just make an inquiry. Hey, you know, I'm available for, you know, an interview or talking more about my book. I'd love to do that with you. See what happens. Follow up.
I certainly will. Thank you. You always did with that advice.
Well, there's a reason I'm here at the Funhouse, I guess. So you found me out. So good. I'm glad it's useful. It's useful. That's feather in my cap. So I'm always happy to be supportive. And you're wonderful person, so we always love hearing from you, Dion.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Let me know how things go with your Florida move.
Okay, I will.
All right. Have a
thank
good rest
you.
Of your evening. You take care. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for calling us.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye for now. All right, yeah. So interesting, right? You've got an associate who things seem to happen around them that aren't too supportive of the relationship. What do, right? Do you confront them? Do you ghost them? Do you walk away? I guess it depends on the severity of the offense, right? But being taken advantage of on any level. All right, so we're going to continue with our reading. Let's go to another caller. This is area code 614. Hi there, you're on the Psychic Funhouse with Lawrence. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Wilson, and I'm calling from Ohio.
From Ohio. Okay. Do you mind saying your name for me one more time? I wasn't sure if I caught it.
Wilson.
Philson.
Yeah.
Oh, Philson. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. All right, Philson. Well, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
Hopefully, it could be worse.
Okay. Could be worse. Could be better. All right. What can I do for you tonight? Do you have a question about something or?
Yeah, I just wanted to I've been going through a rough couple of months. I mean, I would say this whole year has been really hard. Just things that start off seemingly good and then ended up being horrifying and then having to make difficult decisions that I don't know. But my question is, like, is anything good coming up for me anytime soon?
I want to register what you just said, so you know that I'm hearing you. You know, if you're using a word like horrifying, that's intense. So, I'm really sorry that you've had those kinds of experiences. What my guides are showing me or talking to me about is the need to send you some friends, people that you feel are like actual, genuine, real, loyal friends, like people that are the opposite of what I was talking about earlier and talking about with the last caller. I think that's, what I'm getting is that's something that would make the biggest difference in you moving forward out of this difficult period. So that's what I think Spirit is energizing, and that's what I'm supporting happening for you ASAP. I would say in the next month, I think there's going to be some openings for relationships with people that feel authentic and supportive, and people understand you and aren't trying to, judge you or dissect you or take something from you, but are genuinely there for you as a person. So I see that. I see that that coming into your life soon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. The sense I get is that you're pretty isolated with a lot of this stuff. I don't know if it's something you can talk about with very many people, what's been happening with you, but it also feels like there's just not a lot of people who really understand you in a way that makes you feel accepted. So those are, those are difficult things if that's what, if that's what you're going through.
I even have a therapist that I got, but that doesn't even seem to help very much. I mean, it does help, but it's not necessarily the complete fix.
Yeah, well, good, good for you for getting a therapist. That often takes a lot of courage to go that step. What isn't helping with them? Are they not really giving you what you need yet, or is it still too early to tell, or?
I don't know if what I need is what a therapist provides. I think it's more like what you were describing. Obviously a therapist is still a very impersonal and detached in some way. And that's
not
necessarily help.
Yeah. Is there, I think what would really benefit you is, feeling like you're a part of a larger community, There may be another kind of, therapy you could get from a support group that addresses some of the issues you've been going to the therapist for. Is that available to you at all? Have you looked into that?
No, I haven't. Well, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I think you know, therapists do this dance, you know, where they need to be pretty objective when they talk to people, but also compassionate and express empathy. And sometimes that can come across as being distant because they're, you know, professionals. But support groups, you know, where you get to hear other people's struggles and their, you know, failures and successes, you know, a lot of that stuff is really very, the support groups I've been in have been pretty eye-opening. And you can also find your tribe there because you don't have to explain yourself the way that you do with other people who haven't gone through it. So I would, you know, if you've taken the initiative to get a therapist, which is great, you know, I would stick with it because it sounds like, you know, they're helping somewhat, but maybe not as much as you need yet. I would go further in that direction and see if I couldn't find a support group that would work out. And, you know, don't be afraid to shop around. You might need to find, you know, try a few different groups out before you get what you need, but they're out there. So.
Okay. And do the guides have anything for me as far as my current workplace? Any advice that comes up?
Well, they did, you know, in the beginning, they did bring up finances. They were kind of asking me to ask you about your finances. So, you know, I think you're, I think, you know, you're kind of emerging from a place of, what's the best way to describe this? You're working at a place that isn't really utilizing your full potential, like not even a tenth of it, you know. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff there that is just out of your control. You know, if you could wave a magic wand, you know, you could change it. And it's frustrating to you that you feel that way. But I think you're going to have some opportunities for new employment coming up that will make you feel much more valued and feel like you're also to challenge more. Because I think this is a, you know, where you're working is it's kind of a weird combination of safe in a way because it's not. You know, it's something you could probably keep doing for a long time, but it's just so, it's just not a fit for who you are and what, you know, the kinds of skills that you have. So, you know, I would encourage you to put yourself out there in looking for work that you really feel resonates with you as a person and what you want to accomplish. Even if it feels like you have to stretch yourself to do it. Because I think you run the risk of just kind of becoming, you know, complacent in this position and not, you know, and that would be really tragic because you have a lot to offer that's even you haven't tapped into yet. So does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, once you're able to process what's been happening to you and maybe some past issues, I think you're going to be able to, you know, reposition all that energy, Filson, in a place that's going to feel like now you have the, you know, desire and the energy to propel it forward to make some changes in your life that are going to be really affirming. And you're going to be able to, you know, have some projects that you do outside of work, I would say, that are going to feed you as a person and make you feel, you know, I would say revitalized. So, you know, you're coming out of this period, you know, you're kind of recalibrating things, you're getting your feet back on the ground. You just have to keep going until you know, you start hitting these milestones that are coming. But, you know, my feeling is if you call us back, you know, but towards the end of the year, before the end of the year, you're going to be in a much better headspace and processing things. And I think you'll have a lot of stuff going on for you that even you didn't think was possible, but it'll be really positive. So you're going to get through it one foot in front of the other until you can start running at full speed kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for that encouragement. And that was very helpful.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. Well, you know, always remember how much love the universe has for you. It's totally there. You know, just reach out, tap into it. And we love all our callers
here. Thank you so much.
Funhouse. So, yeah, stay in touch with us and take care of yourself. And call back anytime. Check in. Let us know how you're doing. Okay?
Okay.
You be well. Bye-bye now. All right. Let's go to another caller. This is area code 646. Hi there. You're on the Funhouse with Lawrence. What's your name? Where are you
Hi,
calling
Lawrence.
From? Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. My name is Miranda. I'm calling from New York.
Miranda.
So,
nice.
Miranda, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm considering moving. I'm just looking at homes. There's one home I really like, but the property taxes are going to be really high, and I'm just wondering what you see around this, and when do you see me moving? Or
why do you want to move? It seems like you have a pretty good situation, but you're done with it, huh?
Yeah, actually, I'm feeling like I need more space.
Uh-huh. Okay. And it's just you that's moving?
Would be my husband, too.
Okay. You're going to bring him along. That's nice of you.
Yeah.
How does he feel about the move? Is it his idea or your idea, or both your ideas?
More my idea, but he's on board.
He's on board. Okay. Right. Are you the one who's doing most of the house hunting?
We both are. We're both looking.
Both? Okay. You know, and I'm sorry if it feels like I'm focusing on a little bit on him more than I am on you, but I have a method to my madness. But does he have a deal breaker or preference with the move, like something that he totally, you know, won't agree to, even if you want to do it, or something that he really would like to have in the new home that he's expressed?
No.
At all?
He is willing to pay more than I.
uh-huh.
He wants something nice
uh-huh.
and special. Yeah.
Bells and whistles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess he feels he earned it.
I see. Okay. All right. Do you agree with that, or are you kind of on the fence about?
No, we do. I mean, yeah. No, it's a mix. I'm more. I guess more. Frugal.
It's always good to have at least one frugal person in the relationship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, you know, I guess I'm bringing him up into the picture as much as I am because I feel like the house is going to come through him more than through you, the new location you're going to move
mm-hmm.
to. You've been looking at the house in a way that's different from his perspective. And for whatever reason, I think he's going to find something that both of you are really going to agree upon. Maybe not at first from you, but I think you're going to get won over pretty quickly. So I would do everything I could to facilitate him being involved. You know, you said he already is, but
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I would even encourage him to, you know, encourage you to give him the lead, you know, in looking for a house, you know, kind of maybe even back off a little bit and let him take over the process for a day or a week or something and say, I want you to be the one to rustle up the place, see if you can find us something.
That'll never happen. We're both control freaks. We're both looking. I've always taken the lead, and he always follows, and we inevitably like the same thing. We just are pretty much in sync. With Holmes, 99% of the time we like the same thing. It's just, I'm pretty sure even here we'll probably wind up liking the same thing. I'm just, we both like this place. But I'm just afraid that it's unnecessarily expensive. But, you know, we may wind up doing it. Oh, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And maybe other listings will pop up in the next month. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
There's no rush. There's no rush.
That's good. Yeah, it's better when there isn't one. This is a good time of year to look, actually, because it's pretty off-season now, I would think. So.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay.
You know, I think you're going to be successful. So, and I think he's going to be involved. And he may take more of a lead than you think, but it's good that you guys are in sync with it. That's important. So, but it's going to work. Yeah. Thank you, Miranda. Yeah, good luck with everything. Let us know when your housewarming party is.
Okay, bye.
All right. You take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. All right. So, getting close to our infamous lightning round. So, we're going to try to maximize the number of callers we can get to. So, we'll just cut to the chase and get your issue ASAP. So, this is area code 203. Hi, you're on the Psychic Funhouse with Lawrence. What's your name and where are you calling?
My name's Pat. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Hey, Pat. How's Connecticut?
Hi. Oh, it's okay. It's not, I hope to not be in the state someday. I've lived here most of my life.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that what you're calling about?
No, I'm not. I sort of was reading a blog talk window and was just sort of taken about what you were talking about, love. But I also just spoke to some recently about my son, and I sort of feel like, it's been on my mind for over a year now to intervene with his problems and been really afraid that it's going to backfire. But I'm going to see him this Sunday, and I'm wondering if maybe you could help me with a perspective of love, see if it would be a good time to him about some addictions and anger and stuff, gently.
Mm-hmm. How has that gone for you in the past when you've done that with him?
Never have. He's been keeping me at arm's length with anger, so he knows when to kind of play that game. And I think he knows to hide stuff, things.
What's your intention or purpose behind getting together with him? Is it just a family occasion or social, or are you?
Family. It's an hour and a half away. I don't get up there too often, and I invited myself and was accepted by the family. So I'm just heading up for a day to see my granddaughter and the parents, my son. Mm-hmm. So it'll be quick and busy. And if it's meant to be, there might be a few minutes with him and he might be open. And I'm just thinking of asking him if there's, you know, issues with alcohol or drugs, and that I'm there and to talk to me and get, you know, maybe think about help. I can't force any of this on them. I can't say, you need to do this. I know I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if I can just kind of open up a conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you will have an opportunity to speak with him. What I really would encourage you to do is to bookend your conversation with as much love and compassion as you can express. You know, make sure that he hears that from you and that he acknowledges it, you know. Doesn't just nod his head or whatever, but you know, that you ask him directly, do you know how much I love and care about you? And you know, and as long as you're not attached to the outcome, you know, because you know, people that are struggling with addictions, you know, that, you know, they have their own pathway with things. And unless you're going to stage a full-on intervention, you know, the success rate of having a conversation with somebody, you know, isn't always the best. But I think if he knows that you're in the corner and that you're coming at him, you know, without a lot of conditions about things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would use this as a precursor, you know. Don't try to, you know, especially if you're only going to have a few minutes. Don't try to give him your whole spiel in that time frame, but let him know that you're, you know, you can say you're concerned about him, but I would more importantly make sure that he knows that you're there to talk to, and that you want to encourage regular dialogue with him, because you care about him, right? And you're interested in his life, not so focused on, hey, you need to stop the drinking, but, you know, what else is going on? You know, are there other things I can help you with? You know, how can I be supportive? Not in a way that's enabling to his substance abuse, but that's enabling to his person. Does any of that make sense?
Absolutely. It's very helpful. And I'm going to go in the archives and listen to this a few more times. Did you say to let him know in his corner? You broke up.
People struggling with addiction, you know, a lot of that has to do with isolation, right?
And,
So when you reach out to them and say, hey, you're not alone, you know, I'm here for you, you know, and, you know, I want to talk. I want to have a dialogue, and you know, they have to hear this in a way that's coming from you that isn't judgmental, you know, isn't condemning their habit or anything like that, but just says, you know, I'm worried and I'm concerned, and you know, I'm worried and concerned about everything that's going on in your life. I think you're gonna have more success than if you come at them with the, hey, you know, this is really affecting me. I'm upset about it, and I wish you'd quit. That's going to turn them off and make them defensive, right? So, you know.
Do you think he will attack me anyway? You know, I'm a little nervous about sort of a knee-jerk reaction to him coming at me with anger, which, you know, he's good at doing when he wants to control things. I think the last time it happened, I was able to get out, you know, I love you, Terry, I love you.
Can I offer you some ideas about that?
Please.
Okay. Well, when he gets angry or defensive or whatever, first of all, remember that's what he's feeling. That's not, you know, your responsibility.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can definitely advocate and protect yourself, and you shouldn't put up with anything that you feel is inappropriate, but see what happens if you just affirm his anger or accept his anger, right? So say things like, no, I'm really hearing you're angry, and I'm you know, I can see that you're angry, and you're really mad, you know, and it's okay to be mad, and not in a way that sounds patronizing, but just in a way that acknowledges that, you know, this is where he finds himself. You know, part of that is also, metabolical too. The liver gets impacted with alcohol, and that's where anger comes from. Yeah. So, don't let yourself be a target. Don't give in to reacting the way that he wants. Right. You kind of have to use a little Aikido and mirror things back on him, and saying, I love you is good, you know, but that can also make him more angry, and just letting him be angry and say, okay, well, you know, get your anger out, or, you know, let me know what you're, you know, angry about. And then, you know, we can, after, you know, you've spent that out, let's get back to talking about something constructive. You know, don't be afraid of his anger is what I'm trying to give you. You know, have courage about it, but don't.
Yeah. You know,
and I'm sure it's hard, but you can't let that derail you, right? Because it's a distraction, and he knows it, like you said. So,
yeah.
But, you know, again, if only going to have a few minutes with him, I would draw from the compassion, kindness, and love, and let's, you know, set up a time where we can talk some more. I want to spend more time with you, or, you know, I love it when we do this, or talk about something that you guys have in common. You know, keep things in that zone rather than the confrontation zone. And I think you want to propagate more opportunities in the future to engage with them.
Right.
Getting that.
Right. Wow. Yeah. I am afraid of the anger, and that's a knee jerk from my own family. I'm getting better though. Getting better. I mean, literally the last time, when he was yelling at me, it was like a veil opened and I saw his arm, you know, stretched out at me, thrust at me. And I realized he's just keeping me away from him. That's what this anger is about. Mm-hmm. He's hiding behind it. So, I'm bit by bit, I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good that you can own it, you know, and that I think that's a really powerful vision. And, you know, I mean, you can say things like, hey, you know, when you get angry at me, I know you're just pushing me away. You can call it, you know, and you can tell them it's not going to work. You know, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm going to love you no matter what, because I'm your mom or whatever. So, you know, I don't want it, and I don't like it, but I understand that that's what you're feeling. And, you know, you're not going to always feel this way. So, you know. Whatever you do, you know, don't take the bait, and don't let yourself get drawn into, you know, something that you don't want to be a part of. And, you know, keep coming back. If you get distracted, keep coming back to how much you love yourself and you love this person. And that's what you want to hold as the center, you know?
Okay.
So,
very
but don't
helpful.
Try to fix them. Yeah. Don't have a conversation about fixing it.
No. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And that's very, very helpful. Very helpful.
Okay.
Well,
good.
Well,
let me
thank you so
out.
Much. Thank
right,
you.
Pat. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
All right. You
talk
take
to you again.
Yeah, you too. Have a good trip.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
All right. We got time for just one more call here on the show. Lightning round. This is area code 856. Hi, you're on the Psychic Funhouse with Lauren. Hi.
Hi, how
what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Rosemaria.
Hey, Rosemaria.
From New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, Jersey. I'm good. How are you?
Doing
what's
good.
New? What's shaking? How was your summer?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
How about yours?
Yeah, I would say it was good for the most part. Kind of mixed, but yeah, there's definitely some highlights. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the tail end of it this last couple weeks, but everything hopefully is going to go through for next week for work. Whenever we see a big pickup that I'm for relocating with an opportunity for work or business, that's going to pan out. Nobody contacted me back yet on it, so
Relocation. Let's see. You know what I see is if you have somebody in the area where you're thinking about relocating who can I don't know. I get the sense that your relocation, the success formula for your relocation is involves somebody else, either a friend or a family member. Either you're going to stay with them or they're going to open something up for you. Or is there somebody in the area that you're...
There is.
Yeah?
There
well, I would,
is.
I would definitely... Yeah, I would definitely make them part of your strategy about... you know, this the relocation and the job thing, because they're a key component. They're going to be the person that'll provide the foundation and the scaffolding for things to happen. So I would be, you know, I would let them know if you haven't already what you're wanting to do and your plan, and ask them if they can get involved in a way that you feel is supportive. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Call them or let them call me, because they have an idea what I wanted.
Yeah, no, you should definitely approach them and, you know, just lay it out, not in a like, hey, I want this from you, but hey, this is what I'm trying to do, and here's an opportunity for you to support me in this. What do you think, you know, so that they don't feel the pressure. But, yeah, I would reach out.
All right, cool. All right,
okay.
I'll text them. All right, cool.
All right, yeah, give them a call. I'm sure they'd like to hear from you.
Cool, I appreciate it.
You bet, Rosemaria. You take care now. Thanks for calling the show.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Good luck. Yeah, let us know how it goes. All right. Yes, indeed. Well, my good people, that music means we've come to the end of another exciting broadcast of the Psychic Funhouse. And I want to thank every one of you for calling and listening. Sorry we didn't get to everybody, but we will be here next week, and you can follow us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. You never miss a show. And we do have a lot of archives, so there's a lot of great stuff you can go back and listen to on your time at your schedule and stay connected with us that way as well. Now, if you'd like to get more in touch, you can contact me, Lawrence Birch, at 541-344-7534, call or text. My email is givingtree, like the book by Shel Silver, givingtree@earthlink.net. And my website is givingtreefarm.com. So thank you to all the good people at Blog Talk for making this happen, and our own crew for supporting us at the Funhouse. And definitely thank you to the spirits for making everything happen. And, of course, a big shout-out to my co-host, companion, the one, the only, the psychic to the stars, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza, who wasn't here in corporeal form, but definitely is always here in spirit. Till next week, y'all have a wonderful life, and come back and tell us all about it. Take care now. Bye-bye.